Transmitter device activated. Coordinate set for Earth 2.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Earth 2 podcast, your weekly exploration of the DC Comics multiverse and the legacy of their Golden Age characters through the Silver and the Bronze Ages of comics. I'm Peter Watson.
And I'm sitting in the same room as Peter Watson to record for the first time in, I think, exactly 3 months.
Yep, sounds about right. Yes.
I'm David Steele. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Yeah. Last one we recorded together, listeners, in the same room as the Green Arrow Hogmanay episode, which I hope you've all listened to and enjoyed by now.
Wee you.
Peter and Logan and I all played multiple parts and had a great time. And little did we know the chaos that was about to unfold.
Yes.
But anyway, we'll probably stop talking about that eventually.
Mm.
Listeners, it's an absolute cracker this week. I've really been looking forward to this one. I've been preparing bonus material for the socials for literally years, almost as soon as we started doing this podcast.
It is one we actually talked about a lot right at the very beginning, before we started,
Mm-hmm.
How we're looking forward to it. It was great.
Yeah.
We decided early on we're definitely going to cover this story, and we're both amped.
It's a twist on the legacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. What is it that we keep talking about? It's issue 276 of Superman, published on the 19th of March, 1974, very soon after my first birthday, if you're keeping count. And Peter's going to tell you all about the cover.
It's a very striking yellow cover with a gorgeous Superman blue logo right at the top. The Amazing World of Superman, it says.
Yes, I think in the same way that Adventure Comics is now Weird Adventure Comics, mm-hmm. Superman is now The Amazing World of Superman.
Very exciting.
I think so.
With the usual DC Superstars logo at the top left, the Still Only 20 Cents in the top right, along with the Comic Code Authority approval, which is great because we want to make sure that this is safe, not like those other dodgy Comic Code approved Spectre stories.
I'm having bad dreams right now. I'm serious. Like, the one that Steve and I did, which I think will be out in a couple of weeks. Steve's come back to help us out another one to save Peter's voice. It's, oh my goodness. Listeners, just stand by your beds. It's horrendous. Anyway.
Underneath the logo, we have a couple of caption boxes. The story you thought we'd never dare print. The fight to decide the superhero championship of the world. And we have Superman flying in from the left, fist raised, ready to punch. And from the right flying in, we have Captain Marvel, fist raised, ready to...
Hang on. Wait,
what?
Is it Captain Marvel?
What's... Has he got a new logo on his costume?
It looks like Captain Marvel. Hmm. He's red with that white cape with the yellow piping and the yellow fleur-de-lis and the gauntlets. But as you say, what's that on his chest? It's not a lightning bolt.
It's kind of like a circle with some spikes coming out of it, almost like a gooseberry, some could say.
Or some sort of sunburst,
yes.
Almost Sunboy. Has he borrowed Sunboy's jacket?
Could have done. But below them is a panicked crowd. They're all running away because obviously these two titans are going to go at it.
Yes. There's a nice big sort of jaggedy white burst as if they've already collided. It's sort of suggestion of concussive force, and it's hecking dynamic, mm-hmm. to put it nicely. You know what I'm going to say, listeners? I think I have, at the last count, 8 foreign reprints of this. So let's just double check. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9! I have 9 foreign reprints of this one to fling onto the socials in the next day or two, and that's astonishing. Definitely one of the most widely reprinted and circulated stories that we'll have covered.
Yes, yes, without a doubt.
Who is this person that looks like Captain Marvel? Well, only one way to find out.
Mm-hmm.
We begin the story.
In a dingy metropolis alleyway appears a brilliant flash of light that suddenly becomes a bewildered Willy Fawcett, an otherwise normal boy in possession of strange, enormous powers.
Yes, there's a burst of yellow light in this alleyway, and a couple of cats sit among some rubbish. No rubbish bins, though, so don't take a drink. And they observe the arrival of Willy Fawcett, who's a small boy, very short dark hair, wearing a red jumper, sweatshirt effort, with yellow piping at the cuffs and the collar, and blue jeans. Yes, let's be honest, he looks very much like Billy Batson, this is clear. The captioning continues.
But before Willy can assemble his thoughts, a far-off rumble gathers into a deafening roar as, over decaying city streets, soars the magnificent starborn form of Superman, who, along with millions of others who call this city their home, will this day have to
make way for Captain Thunder.
And as Willy Fawcett looks up into the air, he sees Superman flying above. decaying city streets. That's an odd way to describe Metropolis, but it certainly does look as if it's not the smartest part of town. There's a couple of dustbins in the right-hand corner, so you could probably take a drink at this point. There's a very shabby-looking gentleman making his way along the pavement towards Willie. And another caption in this opening page tells us that this story is by
Elliot S. Magan, art, Kurt Swan and Bob Oxner, editing, Julius Schwartz.
In the first panel, page two, the scruffy man has shambled his way towards Willie, who has clocked Superman and pointed up in the air saying,
"Creepies, who's that?"
"Schmear, kid, you ain't never seen Superman?"
"Superman? No, sir. Maybe it's because I'd never been in this part of town before. Tell me, how do I get to 51st Street and Governor's Plaza?"
"With the uptown bus," replies the shabby man. "And a transit token." With that, he holds up a hand to stop the number 12 bus, which we can see leads to uptown. Caption for panel three.
"It is an even more confused youngster who gets off the bus uptown."
Yet as Willie gets off the bus, he's looking around and he's thinking,
"Creepies! That bus driver sure got angry when I tried to pay a nickel for the fare. Wonder when they raise it to 35 cents.
Willie wanders along, looking around, trying to obviously he wants to get to Governor's Plaza on 51st Street. He's looking around, but things don't seem right. He's thinking,
"Odd, this isn't the corner I remember. Instead of the Wham TV building where I work, there's something called Galaxy Communications."
Well, he's standing outside the Galaxy Communications building, and there's a couple of long-haired teens, I suppose. One boy in a green check waistcoat and a white shirt with long brown hair, and another guy in a kind of purple shirt and a black polo neck with long blonde hair. And the kid with long brown hair points at Willie and says,
"Hey, look at the dude in the crew cut. He's 20 years behind the times."
They kind of wander off in the final panel of page two as Willie stands and looks up at the entrance to Galaxy Communications. He thinks about what the long-haired individual just said to him.
Behind the times? Hey, maybe I've gone into the future. I'll see if I can find someone in this Galaxy building who knows what happened to Wham TV.
But his musings are interrupted as a thickly set older middle-aged man in a suit in front of him suddenly yells, "Look, up in the sky!" Willie exclaims,
"Huh?"
And the crowd continue to point and shout. One of them says,
"It's a bird!"
Someone else says,
"It's a plane!"
Someone else says,
"It's Superman!"
And a chap in a green suit in a very postmodern way seems to address the camera as he says,
"Huh? More tourists have come from all over the world just to catch a glimpse of the super guy."
Yeah. Superman is flying overhead at this point. Willie reacts, looking stunned in the next insert panel, thinking,
"Creepies! He's chasing a giant flying lizard that's panicking the people!"
Yeah, and we see in the next panel that Supes is indeed chasing a giant flying lizard, but the giant flying lizard is vaguely sort of transparent, vaguely see-through. It doesn't look as if it's completely with us. And as Supes flies after this creature, which has sort of bat wings and muscly arms and talons and a kind of rat-like face, would you say? Mm-hmm. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. Think that was fair?
Yep.
Sort of a very bony sort of tail poking along its back and trailing behind it. Supes is flying after this beast and he's thinking, "That's no real monster. Just the crudest decoy illusion I've ever seen." Next panel, final panel of page three, if you're paying attention. The giant flying lizard keeps going, but Superman directs himself down to the harbour, flies down into the sea, thinking, "The illusion is obviously planned to distract me from some crime about to occur, which is all the more reason to dispatch it fast."
Sure enough, at that moment,
we're back with Willie Fawcett in the first panel of page four. We can see an armoured car, and there's a helicopter flying down above it. People in the street are pointing and gaping, and a couple of them looks like they're running away. Willie is taking all this in and thinking,
"Creepies! While Superman is chasing away that lizard, a helicopter is closing in that armoured car. Looks like crooked business to me. I better rub my magic buckle and say, thunder!"
And with that, we see that Willie's belt buckle has a very obvious yellow lightning bolt on it. Panel 2 is very effective here. We see him as if we're looking up at him. Kurt Swan fingers in evidence as Billy has rubbed his buckle, and the caption for panel 3 reads,
"It happened so suddenly, so unexpectedly, no one in the street notices the crashing magical starburst that causes the young boy to vanish and be replaced by Captain Thunder."
There's a massive panel that's full of a sound effect that reads, "Shaboom!" I wonder what that's alluding to. And then we see Captain Thunder flying through the air, and yes, his costume is very similar to Captain Marvel. The yellow boots, the red tunic, the yellow starburst type sunburst design that we described from the cover, the wrist gauntlets, the cape with the white cape with the yellow lining. Different to Cap, though, he has a black belt sort of a yellow belt, which is the same little lightning motif. I'm miming belts now for our YouTube viewers that Billy's belt has. And his Captain Thunder is flying along. He's thinking,
creepies, something strange coming over me, as if I mustn't stop these crooks. But instead...
In the next panel, final panel of page 4, we're down with the armoured car. Helicopter has landed, and some men wearing what looks like boiler suits and welding masks. Boiler Suits and Welding Masks was volume 2 of John Pertwee's autobiography, of course.
Yes.
Moon Boots and Dinner Suits being the first one. The staff of the armoured car have all got out. You can see that a couple of them are holding guns, but the guys in the boiler suits and welding masks are also pointing bigger guns at them. The first of these helicopter-bound bad guys is saying,
"Don't waste your bullets, guards. They can't get through our armour."
His pal says, "Our monster illusion is sure keeping Superman out of our way." One of the other welding mask guys points up to the sky and says,
"That's what you think. Here he comes now."
But we see in the first panel of page 5, well, as one of the boiler suit guys says, "That's not Superman, you turkey. It's just some cheap imitation," as Captain Thunder flies down towards them. The other guy replies,
"Yeah, I bet you we're in trouble anyway."
And the caption for panel 2.
But to the criminal's amazement.
Yes, Captain Thunder swoops down, flies underneath the armour car, and then lifts it up into the air, saying,
"I'm taking charge of this robbery now. Follow me in the helicopter and I'll cover your getaway."
One of the guards that's with the armour car has brought up his gun and he fires at Captain Thunder. This prompts one of the robbers to observe,
"Look it, bullets bounce off him like he's got steel-plated skin."
Capture for the next panel.
Simultaneously, across town.
Yes, as a crowd of onlookers look on. Superman flies up out of the water towards the lizard thing, which is circling in the air above him. Soup's bringing a big water spout type thing behind him, and he's thinking, "The quickest way to get rid of this illusion menace is to pull up water from the river with super suction. Spin this water spout around the lizard and trap it inside." And that's what he does. The lizard, frankly, nightmare fuel, does not look too happy as Soup's twirls the water all around him. We see his tail poking out. And the final panel on page 5, we see Soup's ducking and twisting around as he has sent the water spout with the lizard trapped, hurtling up into the sky. As he starts to move off, he's thinking, "When the spout hits the upper atmosphere, it'll turn into vapour, along with the lizard. Now to find where the real trouble is."
Within moments, telescopic vision leads the Man of Steel to...
This is a great panel. The helicopter that the bad guys was in is speeding through the air, and it's being followed by Captain Thunder, who's carrying the armoured car. Superman is pulling up behind them, obviously. From inside the helicopter, one of the bad guys can be heard crying, "We're doomed! Here comes Superman!" And Captain Thunder says,
"I'll handle him. You guys keep going."
As Soups is flying along, he's thinking, "Who's that costumed strong man making off with an armoured car?" Panel 2, he catches up with Captain Thunder and starts to say, "Surrender, or you're in big trouble." But he cuts off because Captain Thunder kicks back, hitting Superman in the face. Captain Thunder says,
"Ha! Look who's in trouble now."
"You're awfully tough for someone as flabby as you."
"Creepies, that was my mightiest blowing. You're still awake?"
"This should send you to dreamland," says Superman. And with a crumb, he punches Captain Thunder in the stomach.
Oof.
And in the final panel of page 6, the captain thinks,
"This Superman is much more powerful than he looks. I better not fight him to the finish just yet. Instead..."
And he hurls the armoured vehicle at Soups, saying,
"You want the armoured car? It's yours!"
And as Soups catches the vehicle, Captain Thunder thinks,
"Now, while his vision is blocked..."
And with that, the captain once again rubs his buckle and cries,
"Thunder!"
There is another massive shaboom! And a caption for panel 3 reads,
"And on the sidewalk below appears a mystified Willie Fawcett."
Yep, Willie appears on the pavement with a nice aura around him, thinking,
"Creepies, how did I get here? I can't remember a thing that happened."
And in the background we see Superman alighting with the armoured car. Placing it on the ground, he's thinking, "He's gone. Where?" Then he flies off in panel 4, thinking to himself, "I have a hunch I'll see Big Red again. Meanwhile, there's an armoured helicopter to catch up with." And Willie is watching Superman go and he thinks,
"I bet Superman can help me. Maybe he has some friends or something. I'll ask at the Galaxy Building."
The Galaxy Building sounds like the sort of place the Fantastic Four would live. To me, it just does. Anyway, a slow dissolve then.
After an introductory slugging match with Captain Thunder, rounding up a trio of criminals in a copter is a snap. So, Clark Kent is soon at his desk in the Galaxy Building, where...
Yes, we see Clark. Is that a red tie with black polka dots? Good grief, Clark. What's going on, mate? Clark at his typewriter. Willie Fawcett sticks his head around the door of his office. Willie says,
"Mr. Clark Kent, sir, May I have a word with you?
Sure, come on in. What can I do for you?
Mr. Kent, I'm Willie Fawcett's, and I hear you're a friend of Superman's. I've got to tell him something extra important.
That important, eh?
It's got to do with him, Captain Thunder.
With that, Willie holds up a little, looks like his wallet actually, which is a photograph inside, which is a picture of Captain Thunder. And he's dedicated it to Willie, and it reads, "To my best pal, Willie Fawcett, Captain Thunder." Clark reads all this and exclaims, "Captain Thunder?" And the first panel of page 8, oh, this is a cracker. Little insert headshots of Clark and Willie as they have a bit of a conversation. Clark says, Superman's a pretty busy fellow. Why don't you tell me what's so important?
That sounds logical, since you're Superman's friend and everything. It's like this. Captain Thunder and I, we're sort of the same person.
The next couple of pages, listeners, the panels are all sort of rounded off because we're in flashback mode. And these flashback panels are all narrated by Willie Fawcett. In the tried and tested style, a disembodied head of Willie can be seen narrating.
You see, they send us orphan kids to camp every summer. And one night, while my buddies were asleep in a tent...
Yeah, we see Willie, wrapped up in his blanket, sat on the ground outside the other tents. Very, very moody, actually, this panel. We can see sort of shadows of the trees and the branches cast over the tents. It's very effective, very nice work, very understated. Willie, looking a bit lonely, it must be said, is thinking...
Creepies! I've got this funny feeling keeping me awake, almost as if something's gonna happen.
And he narrates the next panel.
I was right, because the next moment I heard something really creepy.
Yes, there is the sound of an owl hooting. Peter's gonna do that for us now. There we go. What do you think of that, Tony? Not bad, eh? And we see that the eyes of the owl poking out the branches as Willie looks up and says,
Who's out there?
And then the owl sort of takes to the air in the next panel, hooting again. And Willie looks up and says,
Why, it's a wise old owl.
In the next panel, the owl seems to hover above him. It hoots again. And Willie says,
Creepies, I bet you want me to follow you, don't you?
In fact, Willie stands up, throwing off his blanket.
It was probably a dumb thing to do, leaving camp like that, but I ran off after that horned owl.
That's what we see in the next panel. Silhouette of Willie chasing the owl through the forest.
And I followed him till he came to a hillside.
Very helpfully, Willie tells us in the final panel of page 8, as he says to the owl,
Hey, don't go flying into that wall, it's solid rock.
We are continued on the third page following. Won't tell you about the adverts because we'll be here all day. Top of page 9, Willie's narration reads,
But before I knew it...
Yes, it almost looks as though the two massive doors have appeared in the cliff edge. Willie says,
Creepies, the hill, it's opening up.
The owl flies in through the opening doors. And Willie follows him, telling us,
I guess I should have been scared to follow him, but somehow I wasn't.
And as Willie makes his way in, the perspective sort of shifts so we see a shadowy figure of someone who has his back to us. On either side of this figure, a couple of burning braziers, for want of a better way of putting it, two little columns of flame. And Billy's narration for panel 3 of page 9 reads,
And what I found inside was fantastic!
Willie exclaims,
Creepies!
As he looks up and sees what looks like an elderly Native American shaman sitting on this stone bench in front of him. The shaman wears yellow and red patterned cloak. He has a red headband and necklace around his neck, obviously, a tunic which is that sort of detailed embroidery. And the old man looks at Willie and says,
Long has Meroki, last of the great medicine men of the Mohegan tribe, waited your coming, Willie Fawcett. Come forward.
That Willie steps up onto the dais where the old man is seated. The old man now stands and says,
Tribal legends foretold that one day a boy would come forth who was noble of spirit. He would be invested with great powers by the last of the great Mohegan shamans. Willie Fawcett, you are that boy.
You see, the shaman has lifted up a belt that was on the stone bench beside him. It's blue, but has a yellow buckle, which we can see has a lightning bolt on it. The shaman continues.
When you wear this magic belt buckle, you will have these 7 spiritual powers.
And with that, Meroki points at a... looks like a bit of animal hide that's hanging on the wall behind him. You can see the word thunder spelt out down the left. And each letter of thunder spells out another word. So it reads tornado, a couple of dots, and it says power. H is for hair, for speed. Uncas, for bravery, nature, for wisdom, diamond, for toughness, eagle, for flight, and a ram, for tenacity. Well, that's quite clever. I like that. All very familiar of, you know, the origin of another superhero. There's a little caption that tells us, those of us who are unaware, that Uncas
is an outstanding warrior chief of the Mohegan tribe, says the editor.
That's news to me. Is that news to you?
News to me, yes.
I don't know that. You live and you learn. Don't say we don't teach you anything useful, kids. In the first panel of page 10, the shaman continues, saying, "Now, rub the buckle and say the magic word composed of the first letters of every name on this list." Billy has put on the belt. He says,
"Yes, sir. They spell thunder."
Willie's narration is the caption for the next panel.
"Upon saying the magic word, a brilliant starburst filled the torchlit chamber, changing me into..."
Yes, we get another shaboom. And Willie's narration tells us he has become...
Captain Thunder.
Willie exclaims...
"Creepies."
Well, Captain Thunder exclaims creepies, but let's not split hairs at this point. And this is very interesting because the shaman is now standing with his arms raised and we see a hole in the ceiling of the cave above him. And the shaman is saying, "My work here is done, O great spirit. Your agent servant Meroki is prepared to pass on." Captain Thunder observes this hole in the wall and says,
"The ceiling opening up. Meroki, where are you going?"
And it almost seems as though Meroki is dissolved into flame and he starts drifting up towards the hole in the ceiling saying, "I go now to a far better place, leaving you, Captain Thunder, to battle evil wherever it may appear." And Willie's narration continues over the next little sequence of inset panels.
"That's exactly what Captain Thunder did. Fight against crime and injustice all over the world. And for no other reason than because it was right."
In the first panel, we can see that he's knocking out a couple of robbers of the Midtown Bank and Trust. In the next one, he's bursting through a wall to confront a bald scientist wearing glasses.
Yes, so who could that be?
Should we talk about that now or should we leave it to the end?
Leave it to the end.
Yeah, okay. And then the next one, you see him rescuing a large ship from troubled ocean waters. The first panel of page 11, another inset shot of Willie as he says,
"The last thing I remember Captain Thunder doing was fighting the Monster League of Evil across 1953 dimensions of time and space."
Yeah, this panel, this is the one page of original art I've been able to find in the socials, listeners, so you'll be able to see this at some point over the next couple of days on our Instagram and Facebook page. It's basically Captain Thunder wrestling with the Frankenstein monster as the Mummy, Dracula and the Wolfman walk towards him. The Monster League of Evil, we're going to be talking about that at the end. Captain Thunder is saying as he wrestles with the Frankenstein monster,
"This battle has lasted much too long. It's ending right here and now."
And at this point, Dracula says, "But with your defeat, Captain Thunder..."
"Let's change that to your defeat, Monster League."
That Captain Thunder grabs a Frankenstein guy, twirls him around, sending Wolfman, Dracula and the Mummy flying backwards. In the next panel, he's managed to trap them all in a large, almost like a weird sort of cage, which looks quite like the monkey bars that used to be across from my house when I was a little boy. Cap flies off, leaving them trapped, saying,
"Imprisoned in this dimension, you fiends will never menace Earth again."
This leads Dracula to say, "That may be so, Captain Thunder, but after what we've secretly done to you, you'll never be the same." We're back in the present day for the next panel on page 11. Willie back in Clark's office. Willie's saying,
"I crossed the time and space barrier on my way home, but landed in an alley in some street I'd never seen before. I figure I must have returned to Earth in the future."
Clark says in reply, "I don't think that's the answer, Willie. You see, there's no record on Earth of there ever having been a Captain Thunder." And at this, he studies the photograph of Captain Thunder that Willie has and continues, "Yet, strangely enough, there's been a report today of a super criminal of Captain Thunder's description being involved in an armoured car robbery."
Creepies! Now I know why I can't remember anything as Captain Thunder. The Monster League made Captain Thunder turn evil. When they said he'll never be the same, they meant that from now on, Cap would fight for crime and injustice instead of against it.
Clark, looking as if he's wearing a terrible comb-over wig in panel 2 of page 12, thinks at this point, "I don't think this boy is lying, but he may be under a delusion that he is this Captain Thunder." And then he says, "Young man, I'm taking you to police headquarters and see if there's a Willie Fawcett reported missing."
"Shortly."
And we see Clark and Willie walking on the pavement and they've been joined by Lois Lane, who says, "Tell me, Clark, did you ask me to come along because you chauvinistically decided it's a woman's place to take care of kids?" "Actually, Lois, because I think Willie may turn out to be a good subject for the human interest column you write for the Daily Planet."
As the trio arrives at the main police record centre in Metropolis.
Yeah, I see a sign that says Metropolis Police Headquarters, a couple of uniformed cops outside. Lois says, "Now we'll find out where you came from, Willie."
"I hope so, Miss Lane."
Clark thinks, "Uh-oh, my super hearing is picking up ominous sounds in the garage below the police station." And the final panel on page 12, we see Clark using his X-ray vision and seeing into the garage. And what we see is an armoured regular police transport vehicle, and bursting through the wall of the garage is a large orange metallic looking armoured vehicle, which is obviously reinforced at the front for such activity, but also is a large, very phallic looking nozzle pouring pink gas out of it attached to the front. The driver of the newly arrived vehicle hanging out the door and saying,
"Hop in, boss, and we'll ride you out of this hole."
And presumably the guy that he's rescuing is one of the guys from the helicopter. We can see his handcuffs. He runs away from the guards that are escorting him, saying, "Ha ha, what a laugh riot, breaking out of jail while the cops try to transfer me to another cell." Watching all this on his x-ray vision, of course, is Clark, who thinks, of all times, a job for Superman. And then the first panel on page 13, Clark spins on his heel and runs off, saying, "Say, how long has it been since you last ate, Willie?"
"So long I can't even remember, Mr. Kent."
"That's what I thought. Stay put, I'll be right back with a hamburger." See, Lois looks a little perplexed at this. She looks a little foggy. She's almost as if she's thinking, And in panel two, we see that Clark has ducked into a doorway and start to undo his shirt and jacket, revealing the Superman costume underneath. Willie is saying,
"Creepies, he sure was in a hurry to get me something to eat, Miss Lane. Maybe he's hungry too."
"Yes, Willie. Very conveniently so." Yep, Lois knows what's going on. Of course she does. Caption for panel three of page 13.
As Lois and Willie wait outside the police building,
suddenly, lots of police officers come running out. We see one guy with a baton, another guy fastening a helmet, as Lois says, "What's all the commotion here?" And we see one of the policemen speaking into his radio saying,
"Repeat, there's been a breakout. All units in the area are instructed to form a blockade."
This prompts Willie to say,
"Creepies, excuse me, Miss Lane, I've got something to take care of."
With that, he cries,
"Thunder!"
And once again, we have another shaboom. And a caption reads,
"And thunder strikes."
And what we see happening here is that obviously Superman has caught up with the battering ram escape vehicle that busts through the walls of the garage. He's trying to stop it, but Captain Thunder flies towards him saying,
"Superman, I'm ready to take you on again, this time to a finish."
"Captain Thunder, how did you get here?" "Oof," he says as Captain Thunder collides with him. Thunder says,
"When my dumb little alter ego saw trouble brewing, he called on me without thinking. Reflex action."
And at that, the armored braking vehicle roars off with a voice inside saying,
"What a break. Let's cut out of here."
Very lucky. The first panel of page 14, Superman is flying up into the air away from Metropolis and he's thinking, "There's nowhere in the universe those crooks will be able to hide from me. The immediate problem is Captain Thunder." Cap, following him, says,
"I'm not letting you fly away from our fight, superhero."
Capture panel 2 reads,
"In moments, miles from Metropolis."
Yep, we see Supes flying off towards a very ominous looking dark cloud. Captain Thunder falling behind. Supes is thinking, "The idea is to keep this slugging match out of Metropolis. Now to throw him off by ducking into this cloud." Captain follows him into the cloud in panel 3, saying,
"I have no supervision to see into Thundercloud, but that little obstacle won't keep me from coming in after you."
Superman has emerged from the other side of the cloud in the next panel, and he turns back towards it, breathing out and thinking, "A gust of super cold breath will leave thunder inside the world's coldest freezer." In panel 5, we see, sure enough, it looks as if things are getting cold, as if the moisture in the cloud is crystallising and freezing around the captain, who doesn't look too happy about it. The caption, however, for panel 6 reads,
"But with one mighty flex of his tornado-powerful muscles..."
Yes, there's a massive crackle sound effect as Captain Thunder flies back out of the frozen cloud towards Superman, saying,
"You won't keep me penned up inside a king-size ice cube."
Caption for the final panel of page 14.
With a lightning-like move, Captain Thunder grabs Superman by a leg.
"Hey, let go!"
"Sure, Superman, soon as I get into the swing of this."
And in the first panel of page 15, Thunder releases Supes. He goes heartily into a... Well, Captain Thunder says,
"You're tough, all right. You smashed away half the mountain."
And Supes has emerged on the other side. In panel 2, he turns, saying, "Leaving a big hunk for me to detach with my heat vision." He sees heat vision bursting out and cutting through the rest of the mountain. As Supes continues, as he describes what he's doing, as he says, "Lift it up and smash it into you," which he does with a massive frump. Yes, I might have to do a tweet full of brilliant sound effects in this episode, listeners. The final panel, page 15, Captain Thunder flies up through the piece of mountain, saying,
"I've had enough of this fooling around. Now let's see who is really the world's mightiest mortal."
The caption for the first panel of page 16 reads,
"Then, as if an irresistible force were meeting an immovable object..."
There is a massive kapow sound effect as Captain Thunder and Superman collide. Panel 2, it looks like they're having a bit of a girly fight actually here. Soups is grabbing Cap by the face, and Captain Thunders looks like he's trying to arm wrestle Soups, or at least twist his left arm off. The caption continues.
The Titans come to grip, hand to hand.
Soups is thinking, I've got Thunder roaring mad now, which means the time is ripe for me to send him back home. With that, he twists and grabs Captain Thunder with a massive throom. They collide with the ground, but then Soups flies off. Thunder shouting after him,
hey, you big blue cheese, where are you going now?
And as Clark flies off, he's thinking, it's a long shot. Everything will have to be just right. And he's flying back in towards another scary-looking dark cloud. Captain Thunder, coming behind him, says,
you're not going to pull that storm cloud stunt on me again.
And in the first panel of page 17, Soups is thinking, only super wits can defeat Captain Thunder in his maddened frame of mind. I've studied his speech and behaviour patterns enough to predict how he'll react to my actions. Here goes. And with that, he rubs his hands together. Looks like he generates a bit of a spark. I'm miming that for our YouTube viewers, me rubbing my hands together. In panel 2, the spark gets larger as Soup says, with a rub of my hands, I set up an electric field under the storm cloud that electrifies you with a bolt of lightning. And we see indeed this friction has grown to such an extent that a massive lightning bolt has come out and struck Captain Thunder, who says,
ha! That's kid stuff. It doesn't even tickle.
And with that, the cap flies up towards Soups, who's thinking, here he comes. So far, so good.
Now it's my turn. I'm going to drag you into that storm cloud and set your super ears ringing with a tremendous burst of thunder.
And with that, Cap has flown up, grabbed Superman by the wrists and dragged him into the cloud. Soups is thinking, ha, my trick worked. And as he says the magic word, I make him rub his buckle. And indeed we see that. As Cap has a grip of Superman's right wrist, Superman has managed to grab Captain Thunder's left wrist and direct his hand down so that his palm is rubbing the buckle indeed. Which takes us to the top of page 18 in a caption that reads,
and for once, the crash of a magic starburst is drowned out by a super laugh of relief.
There is a massive shaboom! And
ha!
Over the top. It's already confusing. Caption for panel 2 of page 18 reads,
as the man of tomorrow dives to catch a dazed falling boy in steel hard arms.
You see Soups catching the now transformed Willie Fawcett. Willie Fawcett yells,
creepies! Superman, how did I get here?
I slugged it out with your evil alter ego and tricked him into changing back to you. They land in the grass. The next panel, Soups continues, I figured out that the only reason there's no record of any Captain Thunder here, Willie, is because you came from another, similar Earth in a different dimension.
Creepies! But which one?
I don't know, but there's a way to find out by using the natural wisdom of Captain Thunder.
But you'll get into another terrible fight if I bring him back.
In the next panel, Soups is sort of restraining Willie. One arm round his front and another sort of holding his left arm in a position like a kind of half Nelson sort of thing. Soups continues, not if I hold him super tight like this. I'll force him to use his wisdom to overcome whatever evil hold the Monster League has on him.
If you say so, Superman. Thunder!
And the caption of the final panel of page 18 reads,
again the blinding flash of light and the mighty roar.
Shaboom!
Turn the page. Oh, we pass a full page DC Comics house ad that features this issue of Superman amongst the other titles, including Witching Hour, Phantom Stranger and Weird War Tales. And the caption for the first panel on page 19.
And when the smoke clears,
yep, we see that Soups is now restraining Captain Thunder, saying, you can't move, Thunder. Not a muscle. I won't let go till you do what you have to do.
No, no. Must break free.
And you can see in the next panel that Soups has got both his arms under Captain Thunder's arms and his hands up behind Captain Thunder's head so that the captain can't move. Soups is saying, never. If one of us is stronger, the difference is too small to measure, and I won't budge.
Gradually, painfully, an eerie, indefinable glow begins to radiate from Thunder's eyes. The glow of understanding.
It's very effective close-up of Captain Thunder's face here as he's saying,
I know how I got lost. By accelerating my torque on a radius of 6N8 power along a 19-dimensional Mobius curve.
Then he says,
loosen up a bit, Superman, so I can rub my belt buckle and make it back home.
And he yells once again,
thunder!
And the caption reads,
one last time, a magic starburst flares.
And for the final time, we get a massive, enormous shaboom!
And in a magical flash,
yes, and all that's left is a little burst of purple smoke, as Superman thinks, he's gone. Gone to whichever of a myriad Earths that stretched across creation. Whichever planet Captain Thunder calls home. And that could almost be the end. However,
epilogue.
arrive at the top of page 20. Clark and Lois are stepping out, going to a fancy restaurant. Looks like a French restaurant to me, given that stripy canopy. As they stroll along, Clark is saying, "And so both Willie Fawcett and Captain Thunder returned home. I'm sure Superman will give you the full story next time you see him, Lois." "Never mind the story for once. Clark Kent, do you know I'm famished?" And she leads him into the restaurant in panel two, saying, "Guess what high-paid TV newsman ran off a while ago to buy a little boy a hamburger without asking if I were hungry? It's the very same newsman who's going to treat me to a dinner." "Here? Have you seen the prices in this place? I came in here once for an estimate and a donut."
But as Lois Lane's insistence wins out over Clark Kent's wallet...
Yeah, they've sat down for panel three, looking at the menu. Baldy waiter standing, taking the details as Clark's thinking, "Somehow, my latest adventure makes me feel less alone in the universe. To know that somewhere in some world that bears the same name as this one, Captain Thunder, like Superman, champions the weak and the helpless. For no other reason than because it is right." The waiter delivers their food. In the final panel, Clark reaches for the ketchup, starts pouring as Lois says, "Clark, you banana! How can you put catsup on your prime sirloin? You should have ordered a catsup sandwich!" Which Clark says laughingly, "Hey, that sounds good, Lois. I'd like to try that." And a small caption reads,
The end.
Well, where do we start on that one?
So it was Captain Thunder all along. Not Captain Marvel. Yes, as we knew.
He looks very, very like him. So, which, you know, this is obviously, at this point, we're in March 1974. DC has had the rights to Captain Marvel for a while now. I think the previous month, issue 12 of Shazam was published.
Okay.
And of course, as we know, Superman was on the cover of issue 1 of Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit disappointing they didn't actually just make this Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it's weird. The strange thing is, when I bought this as a back issue in the past, I assumed this was before DC were publishing the Shazam series.
Fair, yeah.
And they didn't have Captain Marvel, and this was their way of getting around it.
I think I probably had something similar to that in my head at the time when I picked it up as well.
Yeah, it's only relatively recently that it's kind of pieced together that, it was much, much later.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is. It's an interesting one because obviously the origin that Willie tells us, the similarities to Billy Batson's Captain Marvel origin are similar. You know, orphan child goes into a mysterious place, meets an elderly figure, wise figure. Uh-huh. You know, the name is spelled out, and then the elderly figure goes on to the next life after dispensing ability. You know, the abilities. That's all very similar to Shazam. And then, obviously, in a little recap, there's the bald scientist who's clearly based in Savannah, and then the Monster League of Evil instead of the Monster Society.
Indeed, yes.
Which genuinely today I've only just picked up on League replacing Society is similar to the Justice League replacing Justice Society. Uh-huh. It's a weird one to do. I mean, it's almost parody. Elliot obviously knew what he was doing, but it's bizarre that they would do this when they actually do have the rights to use the character. I mean, it's so on the nose.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what the contemporary correspondence says, what people think about all this.
I think this is a way of doing the whole who would win in a fight between Superman and Captain Marvel without actually having to say who would win in a fight between Superman and Captain Marvel.
Yes, and we're still quite a way away from their first proper meeting, the first time they do actually fight. I mean, it's, at this point, it's a couple of years at least, because it's the 1976 JLA JSA crossover, which is obviously at this point over 2 years away.
Watch out for the dialogue when Superman says, "Who do you think you are, some sort of cheap Captain Thunder knockoff?"
I hope he says that. That'd be fun. Gosh, God. Listeners, if you want to play a character in that story, write in and let us know. That's going to be...
an epic.
Yes, the thought of you having to edit all of that just makes me want to stop the whole blooming thing, quite frankly.
I bags Mr. Scarlet.
I want to be Mr. Scarlet. No, I want to be Pinky. No, we're getting away from the point. It's very interesting because it's obviously a kind of, on the cover, you know, the story you thought we'd never dare print, the fight that decided the Super Championship of the World. Uh-huh. And that, again, like a lot of the covers we're doing just now, it's not entirely accurate. That suggests, looking at the cover captioning on their little scrolls, that it's some almost organised tournament.
Yes.
Whereas it's not really, it's that very typical misunderstanding sort of thing where superhero's gone wrong and the other super tries to fix it. It's interesting that Supes isn't affected when Captain Thunder gets struck by the Thunderbolt.
That's very true.
But we should probably say no more on that at this time and leave that till we do the Superman Shazam tabloid and then we talk about Kingdom Come at the same time.
Because obviously that will be magically based.
Yeah.
And Superman's supposed to be vulnerable to magic, exactly. As are we all.
Yes.
So yes.
It doesn't read like a Mickey take.
No,
it
no.
reads like a very genuine earnest. And part of me really wants to know what happened next to Willie Fawcett.
Yes.
You know, I want to know, you know, did he go back to 1953? I mean, that's one thing, actually, when we were recording there. Pete and I, we weren't too sure if, when Willie was talking about Captain Thunder fighting the Monster League of Evil, did he mean over 1,953 dimensions, or did he mean 1953 as in that's when he fought them?
Yeah.
Because he talks about maybe being in the future, and obviously that's probably around about the time that Captain Marvel stopped being published.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it's so layered, isn't it? Do we have to talk about the MF Enterprises one again?
Actually, the whole 1,953 dimensions, actually, that sounds very Alan Moore-ish.
It does,
the sort of thing
it?
That he would have, you know, done in one of his kind of retrospectives on superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. Such a random number just picked, but a very specific one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot in this one. I mean, I'm amused by the ongoing Lois and Clark conflict. It's nice that I was popped in because it feels like ages since you and I have read any stories with anything like that.
And Lois's obvious suspicion of Clark running away, very conveniently, so she says.
And the other thing I think we should mention, of course, is that Shaboom is obviously not too far away from Shazam.
Yes.
That's obviously very loaded and very obvious. Might do a tweet of all the different Shabooms.
And Shaboom also has 7 letters, and of course Thunder has 7 letters.
Mm.
So
yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I can't remember what you call the word because I'm old and my brain is feeble.
Acronym.
Yeah, that's the one. When you spell it all out, but when you spell out all the flicking through to look at the... I mean, I love that origin stuff. I remember the first time I read this, kind of getting what they were doing and going, this is interesting. I mean... In some ways, again, I don't want to preempt it because we're going to do in the far future, we'll do the DC Comics Presents issues featuring Shazam. And there's one of them that Roy Thomas writes, which is very similar to what ends up being the setup for Shazam A New Beginning after the crisis.
Uh-huh.
This could have worked very easily just as an origin introducing Captain Thunder as a new hero on Superman's Earth in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting that it emphasised his being on another Earth, which makes me now want to read a story where Captain Thunder meets Captain Marvel.
I wonder where this guy was during Crisis Infinite Earths. He should have definitely rocked up.
Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his Earth was one of the first to go.
Does he have a family of other characters? Is there a Captain Thunder Jr.? Is there a Teresa Thunder? Thelma Thunder?
Thelma Thunder, yeah. That's dazzling, actually. That's a brilliant thought. I mean, would he have a talking tiger? Would he have a talking lion or a talking bear or a talking wolf or something?
Oh, that'd be great.
A wolf might be better, given the whole American sort of native sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a great story, isn't it? I'm a little frustrated there's no more with him, really.
Yeah, I mean, they could have revisited this character at any point. Obviously, it's done as a kind of one-shot idea, just to sort of say, this is them fighting, but not really.
Yes.
But it's
it's a tease. I mean, as I say, I can't wait. We've still got some other stuff to talk about before we get to the contemporary correspondence, but I can't wait to see what everyone had to say at the time. Now, obviously, this is not the only time that there has been a Captain Thunder, isn't that right?
That's very true. Funnily enough, Captain Thunder was actually the original name of Shazam Captain Marvel, because reading from the Wikipedia page about the publication history of Wiz Comics, after the success of National Comics' new superhero characters, Batman and Superman, Fawcett started its own comics division in 1939, recruiting staff writer Bill Parker to create several hero characters for the first title in their line, tentatively titled Flash Comics. Yep, originally it was supposed to be Flash Comics before it became Wiz Comics.
I think I knew that, because there's stuff on this in the introduction to the first volume of Shazam Archives, isn't there?
Yes.
Which I'm sure I read 30-odd years ago when I bought it.
Besides penning stories featuring his characters Ibis, the Invincible, the Spy Smasher, the Golden Arrow, Lance O'Casey, Scoop Smith and Dan Dare for the new book, Parker also wrote a story about a team of 6 superheroes. Each superhero in this team possessed a special power granted to them by a mythological figure. Fawcett Comics executive director Ralph Dye decided it would be best to combine the team of 6 into one hero who would embody all 6 powers. Parker responded by creating a character he called Captain Thunder.
Mm.
Staff artist C.C. Beck was recruited to design and illustrate Parker's story, rendering it in a direct, somewhat cartoony style that became his trademark. When Bill Parker and I went to work on Fawcett's first comic book in late 1939, we both saw how poorly written and illustrated the superhero comic books were, Beck told an interviewer. We decided to give our reader a real comic book drawn in comic strip style and telling an imaginative story, based not on hackneyed formulas of a pulp magazine, but going back to the old folk tales and myths of classic times. Now, the first issue of the comic book was printed as both Flash Comics 1 and Thrill Comics 1. It had a low print run in the fall of 1939 as an ashcan copy, created for advertising and trademark purposes. But shortly after its printing, however, Fawcett found it could not trademark Captain Thunder, Flash Comics or Thrill Comics, because all 3 names were already in use. Consequently, the book was renamed Wiz Comics, and Fawcett artist Pete Costanza suggested changing Captain Thunder's name to Captain Marvelous, which the editor shortened to Captain Marvel.
Thank goodness they did.
The word balloons in the story were relettered to label the hero of the main story as Captain Marvel. There we are.
And obviously we've talked at length about the publishing history of Captain Marvel in the past, and we did Shazam issue 1 and we did the MF Enterprises Captain Marvel. We will refer you to those, obviously.
Now, I don't actually know who had the trademark on Captain Thunder at the time that they referred to, but I believe Roy Thomas had the name for a while.
Yes, because I've got lying about somewhere an issue of Captain Thunder and Blue Bolt or something, which I'll stick on the socials as contextual content this week.
And it seems that there is still a trademark active for Captain Thunder. I can't actually see who has it.
Okay.
Just a quick Google search. But yeah, it is still in use. Now, sadly, I think that a lot of the Captain Marvel issues at DC would be solved if they just renamed the character Captain Thunder when they had the chance to.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have had the Thunder family and everything, and there wouldn't you could actually have his name on the comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the cover.
Yeah, because obviously in the recent continuity for Cap, you know, for the last for quite a while, controversially he's been called Shazam, but the current Mark Waid series, they're at least calling him the Captain again.
The Captain,
which is a step in the right direction.
Yes,
it's all because it was always frustrating. The wonderful world of trademarks is, you know, I remember merchandise and stuff in the '70s with saying Shazam, rather than Captain Marvel, and the comic was called Shazam because they couldn't use Captain Marvel because of Marvel's Captain Marvel. And it's one of these things you just think, why could they not just all have just
agreed to get
sorted
on.
It out and just got on with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And because everybody knows. Everybody knows. You know, that's still what we all call them. I remember like watching, you know, even before the first Shazam movie came out, and Zachary Levi doing a kind of meet and greet at a convention and talking to a guy who was dressed up as Cap and cosplaying, and Zachary referring to the character he was playing as Cap, you know, not as Shazam.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and we all know. Yes, it's all very complicated and convoluted. I'm sure we'll have similar conversations in the future.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Shall we have a look at the contemporary correspondence?
I would love to. I can't wait to see what everyone was thinking.
We'll skip ahead now to issue 280 of Superman
for the Metropolis Mailbag.
It's the Duel of the Diamond Demons. If you have that one handy, listeners, it's a great story. Indeed. It's so Kurt Swan at hearts.
And the first letter says, Dear Editor, The Battle of the Century, The Story of the Century, Make Way for Captain Thunder, was the best issue of this mag in quite a long time. Pitting the big blue cheese against the real legendary Captain Marvel would not have worked because of the differences in format. But creating a big red cheese from another Earth in another dimension was the stroke of genius that made this story possible. And I liked all the special touches that Elliot S. Magan included in the story. From Willie Fawcett to Wham TV, Monster League of Evil, to Maroki and the Seven Spiritual Powers, I loved it all. Only one word sums up the whole issue. Creepies! And that's from Brian Prescott, West Springfield, Massachusetts.
Nelson Bridwell's response is, we hope that doesn't mean it gave you the creeps. Yes, and that was one thing we didn't see. Obviously, Big Red Cheese was obviously when he called Soups the Big Blue Cheese. That was quite, that was actually very funny.
Uh-huh.
And Wham TV, obviously based on Wiz TV or such like. Yes, all very good. The next letter then reads, Dear Messrs. Bridwell, Schwartz, Megan, Swan and Oxner, I like Elliot S. Magan on Captain Marvel. I like him on Superman, but I love him on Captain Thunder. This has to be the best Superman story, or other story for that matter, ever. It's going a bit far, isn't it? If someday I want to remember Superman, it should be by this story I would remember him. Okay? The mixture of the serious and the magical, with a touch of whimsy, just the touch, is absolutely done to perfection in Make Way for Captain Thunder. In a story as good as this, I suppose it can't hurt to expose the few flaws. So first, the creepies in every other panel. Obviously, a slash at Holy Moly. It doesn't really sound right for Thunder to be saying it. I mean, a grown man, creepies. The Wham TV bit was great. Also, Thunder having to rub his belt as he says the word. At least he can say his name this way. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
It still sounds strange, though, for a grown man to rub his buckle. Oh, well. Why does Willie Fawcett, great name that, carry around an autographed picture of Captain Thunder? The Indian origin is great, but where did you find those power creators? Ram for tenacity still tickles me, if only because I remember Hal Holbrook talking about his grandfather's old ram. He didn't give up, did he? Who's Hal Holbrook? I've no idea.
Hal Holbrook's an actor.
Is he?
Yes.
What's it got to do with a ram? Do you know?
I don't know what movie he's referencing,
right.
But yes.
Steve, if you know. Anyone knows. This correspondent concludes, the Monster League, the battle itself, and the ending were all worthy of praise. Mr. Magan, I salute you for a great story. A story which showed a side of Supes I wish surfaced in him more often. And that's from Mark Zutkoff, Timonium, MD. Where's MD? Maryland.
Yes, sounds about right.
That was a very interesting and idiosyncratically phrased letter. Very random.
Yes.
Ian B responds.
One thing to recall, while Thunder may look like a grown man, inside he's still Willy Fawcett, just a kid.
Interesting.
That's actually mentioned in the Monster League there. That's one thing we didn't really talk about, is the fact that they're kind of based on the Universal Monsters.
Yeah,
the
obviously.
Classic
yeah.
Universal Monster uh-huh. tropes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is quite fun. So your idea of maybe the wolf spirit, obviously, that lycanthropy exists in Captain Thunder's
interesting.
World. So maybe Mr. Talkie-Tawny is another wolf man.
It writes itself, doesn't it, listeners? It writes itself.
Anyway, the next letter says, Dear Messrs. Schwartz, Bridwell and Magan, well, 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 it's in-joke time again. Superman versus Captain Marvel. Willy Fawcett, indeed. Last year, it was Superman versus Popeye. Next year, Supes versus who? I can see it all now. Faster than India Ink drying, more powerful than Neil Adams being late, again. Able to leap tall publishers in a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a streaker with a parachute. No, it's Mr. Fantastic being beaten up by Plastic Man. No, it's Super Editor, who, disguised as mild-mannered comics with an ex-editor, Julius Schwartz, fights for truth, justice, and the American way. This month's adventure takes Super Editor to Earth 1 to meet Superman in a deadly duel of... And that's from Greg Robertson, Des Moines, Iowa.
Weird how that just cuts out there, actually, isn't it? Yeah, editorial response to that reads, well, why not? Julie's probably the only person mentioned regularly in this mag who hasn't had some sort of superpowers at one time or another. Huh? What about me? That's an interesting story, but I don't have time to tell it right now. And that's signed off from ENB. The next letter, a bit short this one. Dear Editor Bridwell, all in all, Captain Thunder was a nice story all around for all involved. If that's not all the alls you can stand, all I can say is... If Superman tangled with Captain Marvel, he'd beat him into a hamburger. Or would that be a cheeseburger?
Gasp.
A big red cheeseburger. And that's from Clint Buck Thomas, Oak Hill, West Virginia. ENB's response says,
with a gag like that, are you sure your name isn't Ronald McDonald's? Oh dear. And the final letter says, Dear Julius, Magan Swan and Oxnard did a fine job in Make Way for Captain Marvel. I mean Thunder. I hope more satires are coming. I've read about the old relationships between Captain Marvel and Superman, like having the same artists and writers at different times. Well, did you know both heroes celebrate their birthdays on February 29th? Cap chose his birthday in the March 1944 issue of Wiz Comics, issue 52. And Supi's birthday has been pinpointed several times in recent years. And that lovely bit of information is from Robert Burge, Long Branch, New Jersey.
Ian B's response reads, and 10 years ago in 1964, little orphan Annie was shown celebrating her birthday on February the 29th. I want to go back to one of the earlier letters there, actually. It's interesting that Greg Robertson points out that this is kind of similar to the Captain Strong
yes.
thing when they're riffing on Superman having an encounter with another established character. That's actually, now I think about it, maybe that's more what the intent of this was.
Yeah, you know, I can see that.
Rather than alluding to Shazam, it was, you know, because that's the point. Supes versus Popeye, Supes versus the other... You know, what's next? Is it going to be Supes meets Charlie Brown or Supes versus Snoopy?
Well, maybe part of the licensing deal that DC had to use Captain Marvel maybe said that they couldn't have him encounter Superman.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they couldn't have him be defeated by Superman. I don't know.
We'll have to do some digging in, won't we? We'll have to see if there's any more interview material we can find, maybe when that JLA, JSA, Shazam Squadron of Justice story that we alluded to earlier pops up.
And there are other Superman family-esque crossovers with the Shazam family coming up as well.
Yes, we'll be returning to the pages of Shazam before you know it, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We should have probably said at the top, this story's been reprinted a couple of times. It's in the Great Shazam Stories Ever Told, bizarrely.
Yes.
And was also reprinted in the Best of DC Blue Ribbon Digest number 16. I have a copy of that sitting in front of me. I will post the cover and the back cover on the socials this week, along with, as I said, the many, many foreign editions of this story that I've managed to track down, and probably a few other bits and bobs as well.
Actually, speaking of the cover, I'm just looking at it again. Do you think it would be more effective if they'd switched around Superman and the Captain, and you wouldn't have been able to see the logo as clearly?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Or maybe they had to like basically specify it on the cover.
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that correspondent talked about it being a satire.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, you know, if it was meant to be a sort of, you know, like the Popeye one, meant to be a kind of a bit of a Mickey take or a not to be taken entirely seriously. I mean, I think we took it very seriously. As we
always
read it.
Do, yes.
Was it, was it meant to be a kind of satirical, jokey version of, you know, the fact that Willie keeps, you know, yelling
creepies
instead of holy moly and the comments on his crew cut and such like. I don't know, maybe... Yeah. Maybe it was just meant as a bit of fun, but it's it's interesting because, you know, looking at the cover, until you absolutely focus on the detail, you'd be forgiven for thinking what was going on.
Yeah.
You really would. Interesting.
There we are. That's what we think. But what do you think? Please write and let us know. You can email us at theearth2podcast@gmail.com. Make sure you follow us on social media because, as David says, he's got plenty of bonus material for
you
this week.
Tons.
Yes. On Facebook and Instagram, we're at theearth2podcast, and on Twitter, because that's why I'm still calling it. We're at podcast_earth2, and it's the number 2 for all our social media.
If you're feeling generous, you could go to wherever it is you receive your podcast and give us a nice 5-star review. That would be lovely. If you're feeling even more generous, you go to our coffee page, which you'll find in our link tree, and buy Peter the price of a soothing beverage. Because he's on the mend, listeners, but he's not quite 100%.
Not quite there. Not quite.
Still sympathising with him slightly. Will Captain Thunder ever return? Probably not this side of Crisis, but as Peter said earlier on, we will be returning to the pages of Shazam before you know it, so that's something to look forward to.
On that bombshell, I've been Peter.
He has been Peter. I've been David. We'll see you soon on
The Earth 2 Podcast. Shaboom!
Transmatter Cube activated. Return coordinates set for Earth Prime.
Shaboom shakala.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-shaboom, shaboom. And we have Superman flying in from the right, fists ready to punch.
Well, I think he's flying in from the left.
And we have Superman flying in from the left,